Today we are going to talk about the wrath of God. So that comes with His coming. And as we are in the season of trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ is very timely. Because we often hear this question asked, does God ever get angry? Does He? When you think of what is happening right now in Yellowknife, in the Northwest Territories, I mean, almost a whole city. Well, a whole city is on evacuation order. Yeah. How often do we hear of that? In Canada, a whole city just evacuating? Hawaii? Yeah. Well, even before you go to Hawaii, Kelowna, in BC, there's an evacuation going on as well. Right now. And in Maui, in Hawaii, over 106 people, never in their history before. They have so many deaths. In fact, in the U.S. history of fire burning fires, forest fires. And now that is going on. I've seen some really graphic images coming out of Hawaii. What's going on? And when you can't get enough rain to put out the fire, there are floods happening elsewhere. Just yesterday I saw a flood alert in California. So you go from one extreme to the other, you know, and
we had hail 2 weeks ago.
As big as that.
That's never been seen before.
Right. So what's going on? Slovenia, the nation, that new nation that came out of the war, is now under severe flooding right now. Or no, a few days ago it happened. China too. Severe floods in northern China. So flood and fire, and I don't know, there's famine too. Several countries are on a famine watch, and some are experiencing famine even as I speak. Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, Niger, Southern Sudan, all of those, because of the fallout of the war going on in Ukraine, farmers are not able to plant enough as they usually do because there's no fertilizer to help boost production. Grain shipments coming out of Ukraine. So that war has a lot of significance, a lot of impact on the world. Not to mention other wars raging like and conflicts. In fact, there's at least, I think, nearly 50 countries now involved in some kind of civil war, whether it's Syria, Ethiopia, or wherever. That has been an ongoing. Afghanistan, Russia, Ukraine, and so on. Central African Republic. Those things are continuing. So it's from one extreme to the other. And then you have the other side of the coin. That's the economic part of it. And you have the social part of it, which is a war in itself. I'm just walking through the parking lot a while ago and I saw three flags. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Ontario, Canada. A gay flag. What is that doing there? What's the sequence? I cannot pin my head on the logic for that.
2 years.
2 years it's been there. Yeah. What's the significance of that? Why not another flag? So there's a social war going on as well. Because men are rejecting the bodies they get. Women are rejecting the bodies that were given to them by the Creator. And because of their feeling, they feel that they're in the wrong body. And so it triggers off a whole thing, a whole sphere, a new sphere of debate and politicking and so on. And our poor children are being bombarded and they're confused. And 5-year-old talking about they want to be boy. Some of us here, when we were growing up 5-year-old, we thought we were girls too. But what did it make a difference? No. And some now, when they reach the age and realize the mutilation that has been caused, they regret it. And because of that, poor doctors can't even do anything. They can't encourage or discourage in one way or the other. It's a messed up society that we have. Is God angry about this? You know, you send your child to school to learn 2 plus 2. And they're coming out, some can't add 3 plus 5. because social engineering has taken over and they're being educated things other than simple geography or history or math. Satan clubs are now introduced in some schools, starting already in Colorado. So we have to deal with this, all this social impact. You know, perverts can now educate our children in libraries. But you go there with the Bible and say you're going to read a Bible story, you will never be allowed. So I see a society, brethren, in reverse. Right has become wrong. Isaiah told us about that. And wrong is now right. That's where it is. Don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. Sometimes it's hard not to. But don't be alarmed, because these things must come to pass before the end. It's a sad reality. They must come to pass. So, is God angry? Generally, the Bible, the God of the Bible, growing up, I always thought that the God of the Old Testament especially was an old, white-haired, tough God who will crush you for any little sin that you commit. He's always angry. Growing up, I had that perception. And some of you probably did too. You know, if you just break one of those Ten Commandments, he's ready to punish you. That's the concept of God that is out there. And that's why so many people will easily reject, because they cannot understand why a God like that would send children to their death in an airplane crash or with famine or whatever is going on. They just can't relate to that kind of God. But is that the right picture of God? Is it the God that we know is so merciful? The scriptures tells us that his mercy endureth forever. He's all merciful. We can't understand the extent of his mercy. I mean, if it weren't for his mercy, all of us here would just be dead people. Dead people. And we know how caring he is, how merciful he is. But on top of that, he can get angry. He can get angry. The Old Testament particularly, yes, it often speaks of the wrath of God. Not to mention the New Testament and the book of Revelation. I'm going to touch on some of that today. According to this writer, J. Fichtner, he said, of the 445 Old Testament references for wrath in the noun form, 375 speak of the wrath of God, and the rest speaks of the wrath of human beings. The New Testament neither discontinues nor abandons the concept of divine wrath. So the wrath of God remains a foundational element in the New Testament proclamation of the good news of God, whether it is by John the Baptist in Matthew 3:7 or by Paul in Romans 1:18. But we know in Romans 1:18 it clearly says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. So in that sense, God is angry. He's angry with what's going on. Honestly, I don't think he's smiling. He's smiling with us, maybe, because we have surrendered to him. But the vast majority of humanity is angry. He must be angry with them when he sees someone he's created as a man coming, want to come back as a woman. Then he must be angry. He must be angry. One author says, nowhere does the New Testament replace God's wrath with his love. That's what he says. Instead, it says, it views wrath as an essential and indispensable trait of God. It's part of who he is, because he cannot tolerate sin. It's natural with him, because look, in the scriptures it tells us too in Revelation that no sin can enter into the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. So sin is alien to God. So that's a natural reflection that he cannot smile when people are sinning. It comes naturally. But the good news of the Bible is not that there's no wrath of God, but that humanity is saved from the wrath that is coming. The ones who have confessed, not everybody. The ones who have confessed, we, let's get a little more personal, we will be saved from that wrath. Because as I mentioned last week, we are sealed. We were sealed at baptism. And Revelation 3:10 clearly tells us that God says promises. It's a promise he cannot break, because God doesn't break promises. And he says he will be with us during the hour that of tribulation that is coming upon the world. Wherever we are, if we are alive, wherever we are, he promises protection. The other extreme is, you look at the false gods of this world, and guess what? They're always angry. They're always angry. They make all of these sacrifices to them, and they're still angry. I remember going on a cruise to Belize, and we went to the Mayan temples, the pyramids down there. And the guide was explaining to us, showing us where they usually sacrifice 20,000 young men. He said a day, but I thought probably it was a month. But to see 20,000 young men a day being sacrificed to the gods, because they were always angry, they wanted more blood. That is what it's that whoever, whether they're pagan gods, as long as they're false, if you take a study of those guys, gods, you realize they always want more. They're always angry. They demand more sacrifices. There are certain gods in Hinduism who are considered to have a hot temper. Yes, a hot temperament. And it is said that when these gods are not angry, they will bless you with all goodness or God, you know, godliness. But when these gods get angry, it's havoc on the land. That is how, you know. And we know that to appease Molech, that the pagan gods, what they did, they threw their children in the fire to appease Molech. Molech, by the way, you know, there was a replica of Molech in a museum. It was supposed to come to Washington. I don't remember if it did, but in Europe. They spent money to do a replica of the god Molech so people could go and see. Who is interested in seeing any devilish, demonic god? What people went and see? People who don't have any time. Or people who have time to waste, rather. Yeah. Spearheaded by UNESCO, of course. So we see these gods always angry, want more. And so the retribution is poured out on its adherents, according to their theology, of course. But we know that our God is angry for a reason, and a good reason, because he didn't create us that way. And even though the fall of humanity occurred, he still wants, and it is his desire, that all men be saved. Don't forget that. His desire. In Psalm 145, 9, it clearly says that the Lord is good to all. That he has compassion on all he has made or created. You never see any those gods have any compassion? Even in Islam, we don't see that compassion. You look at even some elements of Judaism, and you realize that they have this thing too. It's just about works. Everything is works. Do this and do's and don'ts, or else. Yeah, Judaism has that too. So Christianity is in a different category, where we worship an all-merciful God, compassionate God, who is willing to forgive. We don't see forgiveness in the other religions, whether Islam or wherever. We don't see that. It's about works. But we are not into works. Yes, we will be rewarded according to our works, but not saved by our works. Christianity has a God that smiles. You know God smiles? Yeah. Numbers 6:25 tells us, may the Lord smile on you. Psalm 119:2. Psalm 119:135. Smile on me, your servant. Teach me the right way to live, David says. Yeah. God can smile. Does God laugh? These are very humane terms we're looking at. We're kind of really trying to relate to who this God of who has wrath too, but there's another side of him. So we are on his good side, mind you. So we can talk about this. Right here on his good side. Psalm 37:13 says, "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming." Yeah. And then in Psalm 59:8, it's David says, "But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the heathen." So God can laugh. So we see these attributes of this God that we know, who is a spirit. We cannot see him. His countenance is so majestic, it's all splendor, brighter than the sun, but yet we see in human terms, so as to understand that we see this imagery being portrayed at men by men who were very close to him. And we can't get a man as close to him as David, a man after God's own heart. Right? We can't see God in the flesh and live. Moses got a glimpse of his back, and he did that for a specific purpose. Yeah. Does God cry? He does. The shortest verse in the New Testament, in the entire Bible, is Jesus' own description of Jesus. Anybody knows it? Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept when he saw all of what was going on. He cried in Luke 19:41. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. And he wept over it. He wept. Jesus wept. It's John 11:35. It's you. That's where you find that phrase. But also in 1941, as he approached Jerusalem, he was crying when he saw what was going on. So can you imagine what he sees going on now? Is he crying too? Is he weeping for his people? What does God, in what capacity, and why would it be the reason that God would get angry? Let's look at some of them. In Psalm 7:11, it says, Jesus, God displays his wrath every day. And why would that be? Because we don't stop sinning. We keep sinning. We add in sin to sin. And we know he was angry with Israel and its kings every time they disobeyed him. That's clearly there. 1 Kings, we won't read it, but 1 Kings 11:9 and 10:17-18. God's child sacrifice and sexual perversion, sodomy, the same thing that we're faced with today, it aroused God's anger to the point that he told Israel that, listen, when you go over those nations, wipe out everybody. And he warned the men not to go over there to take wives that worship false gods. He knew why he said that, because he saw the abomination that was going on. Unfortunately, some churches use that to forbid interracial marriage, which is a total misinterpretation of the scripture. It was talking about the false gods that they would, the false wives they would, I'm sorry, the wives that they would go who worship false gods. We see what it did to Solomon. How it led him astray. So that warning was always there. Destroy, Deuteronomy 7:1, destroy every man, woman, child, even animal, to remove the wickedness from the land. Remove the wickedness So God was that serious. He destroyed a whole city, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the sexual perversion. And that is why, I don't know if I said it last week, if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. We quote Matthew 24, and we quote Luke 21. And we are always referring, not always, but in most times we are referring, we use a reference as it was in the days of Noah. So it will be in the end. We've heard that so often. But guess what? Luke says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the end. Lot. Are we in the days of Lot now? Oh man, it's everywhere. So brethren, that's why I said, let not your heart be troubled. It is a sign. That flag out there is a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Everywhere, I mean, I went downtown last, my sister-in-law was here last week, so I brought her downtown just to look around. She's from the U.S. And everywhere I look is this rainbow, well, looking like a rainbow flag everywhere. And I said, truly, as it was in the days of Lot, this is prophecy. It has to come. You know? And some time ago, maybe not this year or last year, somebody came to and asked me, are we going to go in the streets and march against it? I said, march against what?
Yeah.
You can't stop this. This is prophecy. Not only that, it has to happen before our redemption comes. It has to happen. You can make noise about it, but what can you do about it? It is a reality of the fulfillment of the word of God. As it was in the days of Lot. So in a sense, you know what? We should be joyful this is going on. Because, you know, our redemption is drawing nigh. That's how I look at it. Some other preacher may tell you something else. But this is how I look at it. We should be joyful. But at the same time, we warn the brethren. That listen, this was meant to be. In years gone by, I would get caught up and write things to editor. I usually do that. And challenge the status quo about these people. And I realized, why are you bothering yourself? Warn the saints that this has to come to pass. This is the days of Lot we're in. Clear. And you know what? The word of God, Yahweh said, vengeance belongs to I, to me. It is his prerogative. Romans 2:18, if possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Yes, leave room for that. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. So, no payback. I see Target boycott. You know, they come out this year with this whole lot of paraphernalia and closing for Transy and so on. And launched multi-billion dollar ad campaign. And I saw people going there and they're aghast at what's going on. How could this happen? They boycott the company, now they're in trouble. Because they're losing a lot of money. So there's a backlash out there too, I can tell you. You can see that coming. Pushing it into people's faces. But that's not the only sin. There are other sins going on too. There's corruption in high places. There's greed, there's envy, there's murder. There's all kind of sexual perversion other than that go happening. So I don't believe in just singling out one. The whole head is sick. Not the whole head, the whole body is sick. The church, the society is sick. And they're adding sin to sin. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And it happened in Israel. It's coming right back on us. So, Micah 7:18 says, he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in love. That's the God we worship. He does not retain his anger forever. What? Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity, passes the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Isaiah 54:8. He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. In overflowing wrath for a moment, I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. That's the God we worship. His anger is for a moment. It's for a moment. But his favor is for a lifetime. Psalm 30, verse 5. For a lifetime. So here we exist, living in this creation by the hand of the Almighty. Some of us living with hope, others with no hope. Some of us rich, some of us poor. Some sick, some healthy. Some worshiping God, others do not. Some remain in their filth and will remain in their filth till the kingdom comes. There's a picture in Revelation 22 that talks about the righteous are going to remain righteous. The filthy are going to remain filthy. But the holy will remain holy. That's what we are approaching now. That's what we are approaching. Surely God is calling many people. But at the same time, many people are rejecting the call. Because they are being lured into what's going on out there. If you're not with the times, and if you're not with the trend of today's thinking, progressive thinking, and so on, then you're not going to fit in. That's the category we are in as Christians, as followers of the way. Yeah. I don't even like to use the word Christian anymore. I prefer to go back to the first century. Followers of Christ, they adopted the term, the way. They were called the way. That's why Jesus could claim and said, I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what they were called. Christians, the term Christianity, I think it was first used in Antioch. But they, remember, they were under a lot of persecution too. So it was kind of underground movement, but the church was going on fire. Yes. So they're usually referred to the way. And you see that coming up in historical documents. Followers of the way. Because anybody can be a Christian today. And they dress up in frock and have colors and marry men, marrying man, and they say they're a Christian. So we have to be careful how we use this word. I mean, we can use it, followers of Christ, but there's so many, society is so corrupted now that, you know, you see preachers doing some things, and this week I was reading, I had to shut my eyes, you know, so-called pastors doing this, and I said, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. That's where we are in society. You don't know who to trust anymore. Don't know who to trust. And you think it's going to get better? It's going to get worse. Prophetic. It's prophetic. When Yahweh sees what is going on around us, this is not his world that he created. It's beautiful. You look outside and you see all the greenery and the blue skies and the contrast of colors. It's beautiful. What is ugly is the society, the social structure, the economic structure, the cultural structure, if you can use such a term, and the religious landscape. That's what has become ugly because of one word, sin. Sin. When he sees the depravity of humanity, he must be angry. When he sees abominations multiplying and sins of Solomon said there was nothing new under the sun. And you see some things coming back. Was just watching a tape this week talking about the gods, the ancient gods of the same pagan religions, that they're loose. They're coming back with revenge. And a lot of things that you think is new been around. But they have been resuscitated, coming back with vengeance because they know the time is short. And you use a term a while ago for Satan, what's it again?
Old Scratch.
Old Scratch. Kind of like that. Old Scratch is at it. He's at it. But we live in a very, very dangerous, corrupted society. We kill our babies before they are born. And we don't call it murder. We say abortion. A nice term. It's not such a nice term, but we hide it with that. And we call unborn babies a fetus. You don't say it's a child. You say it's a fetus. Yeah? We steal from one another because we want something that the other has. And we kill for it too. We abuse our bodies through drugs and alcohol because we have no respect for this temple that God gives us. And every man has a right. And I can never understand the policies of these governments. You taking drugs and you're hooked on drugs and they're giving you drugs to get rid of the drugs. Can't you ever see something so nonsensical?
I know.
And they're claiming victory to all this. You know what? All of us have been given choice to make a choice in life. It's either you choose life or you choose death. So if you go and choose drugs, man, your tax dollars and my tax dollars must give that person more drugs to get rid of the drugs.
That's old scratch.
Old scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we have some groups killing in the name of God, and they say it's righteousness.
Yeah.
They say it's righteousness. And we worship anything we feel, including ourselves, because we think that we are, truth is relative, and there's no absolute truth. So we can worship a stick or a tree waving in the wind, and don't attack my culture or my religion. Don't offend people. That's where we are. So we no longer have a fear of God. That's the society we are reaching now. No longer have a fear of God, especially when it comes to the God of the Bible. Tell us about other gods, and we listen, but don't tell us about the God of the Bible. That's where we are at. That's where we are at. He creates male and female, but we want to redefine gender. And now I hear there's over 50 different genders. I don't care. All I'm interested in is male and female, because that's science. So we won't even want to change science too. You know, they dwell on science every day. Oh, is it science? This science says this, science says that. But it's very science, right? That tell you there's a male and a female. They don't want to accept that. God have mercy on us. Now, God can smile and he can laugh and he can cry. But that time is coming, and I'm going to go into that now, that the Bible speaks of the wrath that is coming, that he's going to wage on sin before he gives us or make a reality or the promise to change this vile body into something else. It's not baby Jesus coming back. By the way, we're starting a study next Wednesday on the appointed times of God, the holy days. It's an extensive study. I'm doing it, yes. And I encourage as many as possible, especially our newer members, to go into it. It's not often I see a study on the holy days in the Church of God. So it will not be for one night. It's going to extend over maybe right up to the feast, or possibly even after. But next Wednesday is at 8 o'clock. Because we want to get across to people about the appointed times of God. Because when they understand it, they will see what we are in now. It's not about the baby Jesus coming back. It's a God coming back with revelation, says his eyes will be like flaming fire. And he's coming and he's angry. He's angry with what's going on earth. And all those politically correct people who think they can slip into the kingdom of God with their little sin, they're in for a rude awakening. It's not going to happen like that. He's coming because he said, vengeance is mine. Satan has his wrath too, as pictured in the fifth seal of Revelation, when he's going to take martyrdom on the church. He has his wrath too. But God's wrath supersedes the wrath of Satan. So the Bible repeatedly, right from into the Old Testament, coming along into the New, that talks about this time of God's wrath. Yes, he sends rain right now on the just and on the unjust, but he says in Romans 2:5, he said, but because of your hard an impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. You know, we are like a Noah. We keep warning people, and some listen, some don't. The vast majority, no, we don't have any time for religion. You pack off whatever they call us and describe us all kind of adjectives. We don't have time for Bible pumping people, you know, and they come up with all kind of excuses. But nevertheless, we have to spread this warning. Nobody listened to Noah. Only his family listened to him for 120 years. So is what Isaiah talks about this, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and John the Baptist did that for Christ, and he came here and he preached that message, and every time, so many times they tried to attack his message and to kill him as well. Well, the parallels are there. But we are in a time now where there is no fear. I remember a few years ago, going back into the 90s, doing a sermon when I said there's no fear of God in the land, that we are approaching that time. I remember doing that. And I can say, no, it is here. There's no fear of God. No matter how you tell people about this and tell people about what is coming, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. But every man, like in the days of Israel, they see what is right in their own eyes, and they determine what is right in their own eyes. Today they call it postmodernism. So truth becomes relative. You have one truth, Brother Rich, and Stefan has another truth, and we must respect each other's truth. There's only one truth. It says here in the Bible. The Bible defines truth. It said, thy word is truth. Nothing else. Everything else is untruth. But the word of God is truth. That's what the Bible says. And we know the Bible is the authority, regardless of how they ridicule it and reject it and talk about all kind of different errors in the Bible and blah, blah, blah. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. Jeremiah 3 17 says, or 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that is why we have governments making oppressive laws, right? Because they don't fear any, they fear their God. Just like emperor, like Caesar. He was seen as a kind of God. We have governments who feel they can do anything because they're it. They don't seek the counsel of God. So they come with all of these oppressive laws, but they're not gonna last. They're not gonna last. Jeremiah 30 verse 23. Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. And in Nahum chapter 1 verse 2 says, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. And so he's coming. He's coming with wrath. Revelation 19:15 says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Everybody, the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. So one has to understand that we as Christians should that recognize that God that we worship does not condone sin of any type. He's going to get rid of it because that is what leads to death and pain and agony. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, that he shall destroy is death. Is death. So, although the misconceptions of the wrath of God has led people to maybe back away and fear this God, not in the right way, because fear can mean reverence, or it can mean afraid. Right? But the one that they use it to mean is, we are not afraid of you. We can live our lives as long as we feel. As long as it feels good, it must be okay. Well, that picture is going to change. It is going to change. Some people will ask, how far are we for those seals of revelation to be released? We don't know. But we can say it doesn't seem far away. It doesn't seem far away. They're going to be unleashed. And we're going to see things that some of us in this very room, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. But one thing we know is that God wants us to turn away from our evil ways. Jeremiah 36, 7. He wants us to turn away. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. People may very well, there's a prophecy in Acts 2. We read it most times in Pentecost about in the last days, some of your young men will see visions and so on. And many will come to the knowledge of God and so on. And some people from that, they classify it as a kind of revival that is coming. That if the Bible says it's coming, then it's coming. We know it's a dual prophecy given first by Joel and then repeated at Pentecost, which Peter spoke about. That he's going to pour out his spirit and all flesh, and men will dream dreams and prophesy and so on. I think it's going to happen. And there will be people, thank God before it's too late, who will repent. But is it a majority of people? With what is going on now, with Lucifer, with old Scratch working overtime,
yeah.
I doubt. You would hope. You would hope that many people will come to their senses. But we are under so much deception. We're under so much deception that it's hard to believe. That you will see a lot of people flocking into this room, and poor Stephanie said, we're going to put people or over the days in, you have any more chair to give us? We can't hold people today. You would want to see that imagery, but I doubt you're going to see that, because the church has always been a small gathering. It's not the big mega churches you see with people. In fact, when you look at those mega churches, most of those mega churches, you know what they're teaching, right? Or people can get rich overnight. So people just flocking them. Anytime you see those big mega churches, check out the message. It's the good life.
Prosperity
gospel, that's what they call it. And all of those big men who are millionaires, and one of them even a billionaire now, that's what they preach. No repentance. Some of them don't even utter the word repentance or sin. They're afraid of calling sin, sin. And so those are the churches people are flocking to. But groups like us, who especially on Saturday we have to meet, when the world is the busiest place on a Saturday, commercialized day, biggest commercialized day is Saturday, you're not going to see them in here. Or to go to the golf club or wherever. No. So you would hope that imagery of people flocking to seek God, although he says seek the kingdom of God first and everything else will be added unto you. But people don't look at that. They don't hear those scriptures. Jeremiah 21:5, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm in furious anger in great war, wrath. Wrath. It's coming. This was for Israel, but it's coming too for us in our time. Lamentation 4:11. The Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. It's coming. No doubt about that. Isaiah 42:25. Therefore, he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. and it has set him on fire all around, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. So we have repeatedly in the scriptures God's anger that is coming, because what we're seeing is a build up. The build up is happening now. I know we look for a temple to be built, the third temple. First one fell, second one fell. The Jews want a temple because they're coming under a lot of pressure. And you've heard me say this before, they want a temple, not because it's in the New Testament that Jesus alluded to the temple, to the abomination of desolation, and that there was a man who was going to sit in the temple. Not because Jesus made that statement, but because they want to return sacrifices. Because they feel that God probably not hearing them. They're going through so much trouble and so much challenging from all around the nations. But they're probably the most hated nation on this planet. Yeah. But each time an attempt is made to lay a cornerstone to start the temple, of course the Muslims don't tolerate that, and skirmishes break out, riots break out each time. So one wonders, how is this temple going to be built? If it's going to be built, some people say, well, it might be spiritual. How is it going to be built? And I tell you this, whatever God's will is, nothing can stop it. It will happen. It will happen. And once that temple is built, brethren, the seals are going to start open. Because that has to be in place. It's going to start. And things are going to trigger. The domino effect, I call it. One after the other. It's going to come upon us so quickly. That is why it says we should not be caught unawares like a thief in the night. The thief in the night are for those people who couldn't care less, not God's people. We have to be conscious on the prophetic scene to what's going on. That there's no rapture. That is a false teaching. So we shouldn't be in that category waiting for rapture. In Revelation 5:5, we read that Jesus is the only one worthy to open the seven seals. The first five seals, we know that. The white horse, the false Christ, the red horse, war, the black horse, famine, and the gray or pale horse, pestilence, and so on. Fifth seal, martyrdom. Time of great tribulation on the land. The Bible didn't call it the great tribulation, as a lot of people refer it to. It just says a time of great tribulation. The sixth seal, the heavenly signs, seventh seal. When the seventh seal opens, seven trumpets jump on the scene. And within those seven trumpets are vials of wrath, seven last plagues, and so on. A lot of stuff going on there. All of that, God's wrath is wrapped up in all of what's going to happen when those horsemen are riding. And we are told he will be with us during that time. He will be with the saints if we are alive. If we are alive, because some of us will be dead. And maybe it's better off we are dead. Yeah. Better off we are dead than alive. You know what I was describing some of those scenes last week? I always have that aspiration that, you know, I want to live during the... No, when I think of it, no, better off we are dead. Because you know what? Some of us may lose faith during that time. Some of us may lose faith. We can't endure. We can't take what's going to happen. Revelation 6:12, quickly. No time is run out on me. And I beheld, he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. All of that we touched on last week. And so the stars are going to fall from heaven, even as a fig tree shakes. And then, you know, all the leaves come down. That's how the stars are going to fall. The heaven departed as a scroll rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I see this happening because when he talks about this great earthquake, we hear of tsunamis. You saw it set up here? So when the tsunami comes, after this great earthquake, every mountain and island is going to rock. This place maybe. And here's the part, this is the part I like. It's sad to say, but this is the part I like. The kings of the earth, the leaders, the prime ministers, the presidents, the chancellors, the emperors, the field marshals, the commandants, the brigadier generals, the great men, the rich men, the chief captain, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, what they did? They hid themselves in the dens. You know what I call the dens? Bunkers.
Yeah.
Because all of those big leaders have bunkers. Where any little crisis breaks out, they're gone in their bunkers. That's the den. When I look at it, that's the den. And they're going to hide themselves. But there is going to come a time when the dens can't hold them. They maybe run out of oxygen and food. So they have to come upstairs. And they're the same ones who are going to say, rocks and mountains fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne. That's how it's going to be. Fall on us. Hide us. Why? For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand it? Way back in Amos, Amos was asking this question. Why do you want the day of the Lord to come? Remember I talked about that last week. Can you stand it? Will you be able to stand it? You go to chapter 7, what happens? The servants of God, there's be a miraculous calling here that God is going to 144,000 each from the tribe of Israel. And also talks about a multitude of other, for great multitude as well. God is going to miraculously save them. We don't know how. Miracle is going to happen. That is his prerogative. And in all likelihood, those people never kept Sabbath and holy days. But God in his prerogative is going to pluck them out. It's part of his plan. So he is going to do that as things unfold. Isaiah 66:15 says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire." Fire going on now is nothing compared to fire to come. "For by fire and his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine flesh." See? Even the pork eaters, vengeance is coming on them. Pork eaters. This is a prophecy. So people take kindly, they don't know what's going on. The abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. Eat unclean food. God is even angry with that. Even angry with that. When the seven angels sound their seven trumpets, it's woe after woe. Plagues upon plagues. Calamities upon calamities. Widespread disaster, death and destruction. This is what the wrath of God is talking about. It is coming. Revelation 8:6, and the seven angels, Revelation 8:6, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And when the first angel sounded, we see hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. A third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burned. So all the greenery you see out here is going to disappear. The second angel sounded. It was a great mountain. It was like a great mountain burning with fire. The fire going on, nothing like what we're going to see. And it was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. Of course, there are some churches dismissed and say, "Oh, this is all figurative." For one moment, I don't believe it is. This is a destruction that is coming. It's coming. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life, that they died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed, even on the ocean. The third angel sounded, and a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. You know what this is, brethren? Probably a meteorite coming down to the earth. looking like a star. Yeah, the imagery tells you. And he fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, which means, I think, the translation here is bitter. Yeah. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Poison. Those meteorites carried dangerous poisonous gases around them and all of that. The fourth part of the angels sounded. The third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. The third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise, darkness upon the land. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason and other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So even after this, you know, more things coming. God is not finished yet. You know? God is not finished yet. In your time, you can read Revelation 9, the whole chapter 1 to 19. Give you some imagery there, because, brethren, when you think that God was done, when you go through this chapter, and we just did a whole study on Revelation, some of you watched it, you think God was done, it's the beginning. And you wonder how much we can tolerate as fleshy bodies. Well, you know the sad thing in all of this, brethren? And you see it happening now. Revelation 16:9 says, and men were scorched with great heat. Now when heat takes you, you know, you want relief. You know, you get a little burn on, this morning I get a little burn on my hand. Hot, you know, some hot water for make tea. Got a little burn, and so, you know, when that happens, you can feel the whole body under pain. But listen what happened here. And the men who were scorched with great heat, they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. You would think they're going to repent. They blaspheme instead. So you look at what is going on here now in our earth. Just coming out of a pandemic, and there's a lot of dislocation economically and politically. And you think some people would come to their senses? No, no, no. They sin more. This is the picture we see here. This is the picture. Verse 11 says, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Oh my, 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 my. Wow. So we should not be surprised when people don't turn to God in these last days, regardless of what's going on around them. If God doesn't call them. I think God is calling a lot of people, just that they're not coming to Him. Many are called, few are choosing to go to God. Revelation, and I'm a little over time here. Revelation 15:5, you can just make a note of that. It describes the vials of wrath and so on. And Revelation 16, fall of mystery Babylon and so on. You can read that in some spare time, because all of this is God's wrath. All of that is God's wrath. But then Revelation 19 comes with joy. It comes with joy for us after the wrath. Blessed are they, Revelation 9:19, that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is a kind of Passover here. Remember Jesus said Passover night, says, I look forward to that time where I will sip with you the cup anew in the kingdom. This is what he's talking about. The kind of Passover. This will be the gathering of God's people for this great supper. People who have died and years before you or years after you, relatives who probably were in the church or you didn't know, ancestors going way back. This is going to be a grand reunion, this marriage supper. Because Jesus Christ is going to marry the church. It's a marriage supper. The bride, we are part of that bride. And that's why we have to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. That's why we have to usher the warning, sound the warning to people. Church, get ready. His wrath is coming. But after His wrath, we are gonna, our joy will be filled right up to the brim. So He's going to, that plan is all laid out there in His appointed time. So we're gonna go through. And His saints, we have a wonderful time ahead of us, regardless of what you see going on. So don't be get too worn out when you see all these things. Remember, we are social beings and it will happen. When you turn on your TV and you see all the abominations going on, the evil and the wickedness, it will affect us. Because we have God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit cannot relate to what's going on. But that Spirit guides us, nurtures us, and rejuvenates us, and just gives us that connection with God to know that these are the very times that God speaks of in His Word. Perilous times, He says, shall come upon the earth. Maybe we are entering into it. Maybe we are in it already to an extent. It's hard to know, but because there's so many dynamics going on here. There's so many, and this is part of the whole confusion that's going to be on the land. There's so many little things going on, but everything is being fitted and coming to one grand, the puzzle. You know, when you do your puzzle and all the pieces and you put them together and you see the match up, exactly what is going on. So we just pray for each day. We just give God thanks for each day that we are alive, that we can see. For each day takes us nearer to that time. And brethren, that time is sure. It's not a matter of if and when. It is sure. That's the reassurance we have. That all the apostles spoke of this reassurance. Remember in the church in Thessalonica, they had this, they felt disenchanted because they thought Jesus Christ was going to return in their time. Not knowing that, no, this is not. And so they became, you know, lukewarm, and they lost, they become discouraged. And that's one of the reasons Paul had to write that letter to them. Talks about, no. It's not like this, right? It's going to happen, mind you. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last jump and so on, he tells them, it's going to happen. But there are other things that must take place. So that is for us to draw on, not getting discouraged. But know the time and the seasons, as we talk about the fig tree, that it is near. And but notwithstanding that, God's wrath has to come first. It has to come first before these things come to pass. And what we are seeing now is, yes, God is sovereign. He can intervene at any time. But He's not going to intervene like this. There's a format here about when He will intervene. Will He struck down all those evil going on the land? Will He struck those people responsible? Will He strike down governments and so on and come in? And no, He's not going to do it like that. There's a plan accordingly how we'll act. And He's going to do it in His time. Because He's not late. He's not late. He's on time. Always on time. It's like the bus is on time or the plane is on time. He's right on time.